God, in his wisdom, he tries to keep things simple for us. That doesn't mean that they're easy, but we get tied in the knots. We make things complicated and complex. So, for example, to celebrate Mass, all you need, unleavened bread, wine, and a validly ordained priest. That's it. That's all you need. And in terms of the hosts, that's the job of the sacristan and the sacred worship committee. They make sure that we have sufficient hosts. You order them. There are different places that make them, and they're all unleavened. There's no preservative, so you have to be careful about it. We put them in the freezer to keep them dry so that they don't stick together. We make sure that we use them in a timely fashion because they, without preservative, I mean, they do get brittle and they'll start to crack. And so we use them in a way that they're fresh. And then right now they're just hosts, they're just unleavened bread. But when they're on the altar and the priest says the prayers, they become Jesus, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And all that is a preface to 20 years ago when I was teaching, this kid walks into class and he has a big container of hosts. They're not consecrated, but he's eating them like potato chips. And he says, "Hey, Father, is this a sin?" I mean, at least he didn't have any salsa or like the cheese dip. He wasn't, doing that. But that's a fair question. It's a question, I suppose, as a priest or maybe even as a parent, you get, well, is this a sin? And well, what is a sin? That's something that we're thematically talking about, that if we fall into iniquity, but we repent, we can change, we can start again. And we can be really good, but all of a sudden collapse. And we just can't coast, is the idea that conversion is an ongoing tension. We're called to become a better person day by day until the Lord calls us home. There's never a time when we can just rest until after death, and we call that eternal rest. So what is a sin? When I was a kid, I would have said, well, anything fun. That's probably what a sin is, right? It seems like it. But really, the church, she teaches us that it's something that damages us and others, right? It's something that, well, Oscar Wilde used to say, it's not so much what you do, it's what you become. Sin leads to selfishness. It leads to a kind of a pride and a self-sufficiency. I don't need anybody. We can become hard-hearted. We judge people. And we can become very resistant to God's love. I don't need anyone. I can do it my way. So they used to say there are three criteria for sin, right? That it has to be something that damages our relationship with God and with others. You can't say, well, I forgot to water the flowers. Well, that's not exactly a sin, but that I spoke badly about my family in front of others. I revealed their faults. Well, that would damage relationship. And of course, we have to know that it's wrong, and we have to freely choose it. You can't accidentally sin. You have to see it coming, and you do it anyway. There was a story about this guy who was a teacher, and they had this contest. It was an annual one, and the kids looked forward to it. The top three kids would get to advance, and they'd have this big competition. It was a school-wide sort of thing, and the top three kids, it was the last test to get into that final competition. And this one boy, who'd been rebellious for a long time, but he got it excited. It started to pique his curiosity, and the teacher was, well, it was like pulling for David and Goliath, the underdog. And this kid on the last test to get in that top three, when the teacher tallied up the points, the kid was 1 point short. The teacher felt kind of bad, and he looked at the kid's grade, and he had an A-. And so you could see he's wrestling in his conscience, but he turns the A- to an A+, and he moves that kid into the top three, supplanting the other kid who really earned it. You could see that he knew what he was doing. He knew it was wrong, and he did it. Now, the kid that was, moved out of third place never knew it until later it was revealed. So that's what a sin is. You have to kind of see it coming, and you know that it's wrong. And not every sin is the same, by the way. They used to talk about venial sin and mortal sin. When we were in sports, just as an analogy, they'd say that you can play when you're hurt. If you have some bumps and bruises, maybe you get cut a little bit, they want you to stop bleeding. But when you're injured, you do some ligament damage, your tendon or your Achilles. If you keep playing through an injury, you'll make it worse. You shouldn't do that. That can irreparably damage you in a way that you'll have to deal with all your life. Venial sin is like being hurt. Mortal sin is like being injured. And that requires a doctor, a divine physician, someone who can help us and recognize the hurt that we've caused. the damage that haunts us and makes us feel bad. You see, Jesus wants us to be honest, to be humble, to acknowledge that we hurt on the inside. Tax collectors and prostitutes, if you've been watching The Chosen, I've recommended it many times, but the tax collector in there is Matthew, who is sorry about his past. He was disowned by his parents, because to be a tax collector in those days was to rob your own people, to betray the people who raised you in a way that was considered wicked and deceitful. And when Matthew changes, not all of his people forgave him. Even his parents, according to the way that The Chosen depicts it, even they struggled to forgive their son for the way that he had harmed them. Mary Magdalene, she had these demons that were driven out of her. And you can see in this version of her life that she's a champion of not only repentance, but working through that shame and that guilt. I don't know about you, but there are things in my life that God has forgiven, and they still hurt. Sometimes things bump into those old scars, and I still feel bad about it. Now, the good news is you can give it to the Lord. Make a good confession. Don't hide anything. Yesterday, I was thinking about all this stuff with sin and preaching on it. So I said, maybe I should go to confession. I went over to Father Albert, and you come back and you feel good. I still do, and that's like 12 hours ago. And then after I went to confession, then I heard confessions, and I was actually pretty nice first time in weeks. Anyway, now the idea is the more you let God help you, the more you let him into your brokenness, the more you can serve others and build them up and not judge them, but pray for them. And sometimes we need those graces just to accept God's love. Now, if we hide things, the devil hides in those things. One of my friends, she told me that as a secretary, there was some money, some cash that was out one time, and nobody would have known, and she was tempted to take it, but she didn't. Afterwards, she confessed that temptation, and she never was really tempted again. I know another person who, unbeknownst to anybody, for 20 years, did take that money, never told anyone, and it ended up being hundreds of thousands of dollars, and that person is still in jail today. Let God into our hurt, our temptation. We all have it. Every day we have to go through things that we're attracted to that aren't good for us, things that would hurt us and hurt others. Not all sin is the same. Some is more like being hurt, some more like being injured, but all sin can be forgiven. There's not a single sin that God wouldn't take away unless we won't let him. He's a merciful Father, and he sent his Son to redeem us. I was listening to a football game the other night. Won't tell you which one because you talk about hurt. Anyway, it was the pregame, and they were talking. Sometimes they have these commercials, and they make me laugh. The one was about a local bar, and they said that people who frequent bars have more fun, they have more friends, and they're generally happier about their life. Did you know that? I turned the radio off and went right there. I don't get into bars very often, and not to be anybody's judge, right? I think people go there, especially when you're sad, and that's a dangerous place. You can go, and it can be a one-way ticket. You just can never get out. I hope that when we leave here, people see a joy in us. Why? Because we come as sad, broken, damaged, lost people, and we leave loved, forgiven, redeemed with a purpose. We know where we're going. We're living today in preparation for tomorrow, in preparation for eternity. If we don't leave here joyful, peaceful, reconciled, there might be some obstacle, something that's holding us back, something that we haven't given to God, and he's going to give us a little nudge. Bring that to me. Trust me. Let me carry that for you. Sin. Yeah. Is it a sin to eat unleavened bread and hosts? He wasn't doing it with any malice. I said, it's a dangerous thing, though, in case you want to receive the host the next time and believe that it's Jesus. Because in about 10 minutes, it will be. It's not bread anymore. It's certainly not wine. It's Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He died to forgive sins, yours and mine, and those of the whole world.